Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Super Saturday, May 13th, Mother's Day weekend. Remember that, Ben Botham. Big old Oscar Garner III. Remember Mother's Day, Ray Kennedy, and you got no option. You live with her. And I don't know about this youngster, Mikey Prene.
Premet.
Gotcha. We'll be talking to that youngster in a minute. He's a Seminole Warhawk as well. He's a skateboarder. And I thought it'd be kind of cool. Tom Gribben brought it to my attention. Never had a skateboarder on. Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And we had a, what was your buddy's name, the Sailor?
Oh, yeah, Sailor, Andrew. Andrew is the Sailor.
We bring on any sports here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Oh, yeah, hey, we even talked about the slap boxing league, Mike. Hey, that was the most exciting thing I'd ever seen, Mike. Seeing guys drop down.
I've seen it since, and it's ridiculous.
And I love it.
I eat it up
every time it's on TV.
All right. We're brought to you by Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're here each and every Saturday, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete. And, of course, tonight they're going to be battling in Game 3 up in New York City. Lot went down 6-5 last night, won the first game, and actually should have won last night. But over the Trop, we got graduations all week. And did you guys have your graduation ceremonies at the Trop?
Yeah,
everybody?
Yeah, almost everyone in Pinellas County tends to go there. I know.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, I know Tuesday Seminole High School will be graduating there. So congratulations to all my students and all the grads out there. It's a great time, and good luck in your future.
Well, we've got the big old Oscar Garner III. He's making a cameo appearance and blessing us with his smiling face. Smiling face, you know what that is?
Yeah, I'm very positive. We got a huge game 6. Celtics going up against the
Celtics. He can't even say, hello, Mike, how are you? Great to be here, without going into the NBA and his Celtics. You see this thing right here? This is the power of... Don't have to hear about NBA right now.
Oh, I love it, Mike.
I'll bring it back.
You invited me.
Yes,
this is
I did.
What I do.
I missed the big old Oscar Garner III. Tom Gribben, I appreciate you bringing this young man. They went to the same high school. Yeah, they both went to Seminole, so we'll have a little Seminole Warhawk chat. And actually, your ages aren't that far off. You're 24. How old are you, Mike?
23.
Yeah. He was class of 2018, correct?
2018.
Yeah, it was 2016, so not
that. We're having a little mini class reunion. They're graduating across the street, and you guys are meeting up afterwards.
Yeah, we probably crossed paths in the hallway once or twice. I wasn't much of a skater, but I definitely longboarded from time to time.
Longboarding sports, too.
Yeah, I know I'm not the best at the skateboard, and I can maybe pop an ollie, maybe, if I really try.
Pop an ollie? What the hell is
that's,
pop an
that's
ollie?
Your basic jump trick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. About as basic as you can get, Mike.
As long as you're riding around having fun, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how old were you? We might as well start this conversation. How old were you when you first started popping ollies?
Oh, I've been skateboarding since I was about 7 years old, I believe. Since actually I was in diapers, I first got on a skateboard. My dad, he was a big skateboarder and a biker, and he got me into all that stuff. And as I got a little older, I just picked it up myself. And yeah, the rest is history. It's been a long, good ride and a lot of fun, a lot of cool experiences that, you know, I've got to...
Can you make any money doing it?
Oh, yeah. You can make some money skateboarding. It's a little bit more... you have to put more effort into it, you know, but it's definitely achievable. There's a lot of people I know, a lot of friends that make good money skating.
So, now when you're in high school, do they have any opportunities for young high school kids or, you know, even
the best opportunity was the 8 stair in the hallway.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what he's talking about.
I would jump down that thing during lunch.
That's over by the auditorium.
You guys are the rebels. You know, you guys are like the surfers. You're the rebels in the high schools. Am I right?
Oh yeah. They're still doing it, Mike. I'll tell you what, it's over by the band in the auditorium. It's a good staircase to jump over. I see them doing it day and night. They love it.
Yeah, it's a good
number 8.
It's an 8 stair. Yeah,
the 8 stair.
I learned a lot of my tricks on that thing.
I got to watch high school.
Yeah.
While school was going on.
Yeah. Well, actually, I learned. I was in middle school watching the high schoolers jump down it, and then when I got to high school, I started doing the same
thing. He said, "I'm going to be that guy."
Yeah. So, great role models over there.
I'm going to be in detention often because I'm going to do the eight step.
We used to have to skate away from the teachers running after us.
Like, I'm not one of the ones that'll stop them. I'll stop and watch. I kind of want to catch a trick or two.
I don't know how successful you're going to be as a teacher. As a coach, I know you're going to be successful.
As a coach, it's going pretty well. As a teacher, I got some things to learn.
I can see you turning a blind eye from time to time.
Hey, if it's for guys like this out there, learn how to skate a little bit more, I'm all for it. But
we appreciate it.
But so what? All right. So I know about longboarding, and I know, like, you got to use your bone reds for some good ball bearings. Yep. What's the difference, or like, how could you tell our listeners what it takes to, like, for the board, the parts that go into it? Like, what is, like, the big thing about it?
The big thing about skateboarding or the parts?
Either or, whatever you want to go with.
So the number one rule I feel in skateboarding is to have fun and express yourself however you want. You know, just get out there and get some life experience. You know, go out there and scrape your knees and meet up with friends. But yeah, the whole...
Have you ever broken anything?
Yes, I've broken my wrist. I've broken my other part of my hand. I had a boxer's fracture on my hand, and I broke my growth plate. I just came off of a trip from Atlanta, and I have an ankle roll right now. So I have that wrapped up. I'm waiting for it to heal up.
So those are badges of honor, essentially.
In a sense, yeah.
So you're getting the hell beat out of you. You can break your neck.
Your dad want you to wear a helmet?
He does. He does. Especially when I do the real big stuff. Yeah.
So your body's getting abused.
Yep.
You got to figure out, Mikey, how to make some money doing this.
I know. I'm working on it right now, actually.
Do any the local, like, skate shops work with you? I know there's, like, what is it, West Side? They have, like, that Manatee.
I'm glad you're here, Ben. You know more about this than I thought.
Hey, Mike, I skated a time or two.
You got a little credit.
West Side Skate Shop is the number one skate shop in Florida. It's definitely been the number one supporter of me and a lot of locals.
Do you know how you're going to start making money? You're going to be our skateboard guy, like Tom said.
Let's do it.
You're going to sell them on some advertising.
Okay.
Or if they won't go that route, maybe they'll give you some equipment.
That wouldn't hurt. That'd be great.
And then I got an idea because we just launched Florida Sports Stream. We're talking business as we migrate here. We just launched FloridaSportsStream.com, and we want everything. You are going to start a skateboarding podcast.
Sounds great. I would love to.
And make sure, Tom, you stay on me about that. We're going to get that done.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on the show and for
sure. All this. Great. Now, were you ever involved in any other athletics?
Yeah. So I used to do a lot, actually. I used to race BMX, and I used to play soccer and basketball. Briefly got into baseball when I was younger, but mainly skateboarding has been the number one thing that stuck with me, mostly because it's just something you can grab and go whenever you want, you know. And
you gotta have some athleticism, obviously.
Oh,
you definitely gotta have balance.
Yeah, definitely.
You gotta be tough.
It takes a lot, yeah, to be a skater, but it's
fearless. Scary. Fearless. I mean, if you're willing to skateboard in the school, you're fearless.
Yeah.
So are there different, like, crazy events when it comes to skateboarding? Because I know
that would be crazy.
I know
they're, well, they all are, I think. They're like surfers.
That's a fact. You do have to be a little crazy.
I know there's, like, what, like a freestyle aspect to it, like where you're kind of everywhere with it. And then you'll watch, like, X Games kind of things where you see Tony Hawk on, like, a half pipe doing crazy trick. Like, I saw earlier it was the anniversary of him being the first guy to hit, like, a 900 on the ramps. What is, like, your expertise?
Cause what's another 900? Is that your,
like, spinning
the degrees?
Spinning around. Yeah.
Wow.
He's one whole spin.
Gotcha. I can pick that portion.
Yeah.
What is your mode of skateboarding? Like, what is that?
I mostly do street skateboarding.
Okay.
So it's like a lot of rails, a lot of stair sets, jumping, grinding, you know.
You're the guys that they're running off of properties, right?
Yeah. We get pissed off people's properties all the time. Yeah. We try to be respectful and, you know, we understand how it goes.
You go up there and get as many quick licks as you can.
Yeah, sometimes they're cool with it. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they'll have you spray paint it and make sure it's all good. So when you leave, it looks like brand new.
Gotcha.
done that once or twice.
Are you guys using, like, I don't know if it's just like a surfing thing that they use, like the, I know they call it like the sex wax, they rub on it. Do you put that on the sex wax?
Okie dokie.
Well, I know, Mike, it's a PG show, but that's the name of it. Mr. Zogs or something like that.
That wax brand is for surfing. It's
surfing,
for grip,
okay.
But when you skateboard, you use like a slicker wax, so it's likely to help you slide better.
And you put that on like rails and staircases?
Yeah, you can apply that to any rail or ledge. Or even put it on your board if you'd like. Some people at the places, they don't like you waxing up the ledge because they, you know, you don't want to mess them up. So you just put it on your own board.
Okay. So, Mike, I could ask you, do they have in this area, do they have a lot of parks that are designated for?
Yeah, right behind us, actually, we have a brand new skate park. It's been about open for 2 years. It's not brand new, but it's a $2 million park. Really great. It's called Campbell. Behind Tropicana Field right over here.
Yeah, I've been over there myself, Mike. A lot of people take like the electric vehicles on it now, the one wheels and the like electric unicycle.
Oh yeah, they come in groups.
Yeah, I've been with that. The St. Pete Float Fleet, Mike. It's a float fleet.
Big O, when you live downtown, how come you didn't join the float fleet and become a what would you call this thing? The
electric skateboard.
Yeah, any kind of electric vehicle. Electric mobility device, because it's not an electric mobility vehicle. You got to stay legal. It's a mobility device.
Oh, okay.
It was corny. Corny to watch.
You got
opening up my window, seeing those guys with their speakers and everything. I'm a runner, so I'll run into those guys.
Don't knock it till you try it. Hey, hop on a one wheel. Hop on a skateboard. Give it a go. I promise you. You're going to have the time of your life.
I prefer the 2 feet, dude. I prefer the 2 feet.
Hey, you can put 2 feet down. You put 2 feet down on that one wheel, and you're cruising for a bruising.
I meant walking, Ben.
I think the electric boards are all cool and all, but there's nothing that beats the original.
Now, I see these guys that are boarding down here down the street all the time.
All day, every day.
And it's not motorized.
No. A lot of street skateboarders out here.
I mean, how long... Let's say you're in pretty good shape,
yeah,
and you can give it 2 pushes. How long will these boards go without you having to do it again? I mean, I see these guys riding. These must be pretty very expensive.
A lot of the skateboarders out here are doing more street stuff, so they're not getting those rubber wheels that help you travel long distance.
Gotcha.
A lot of those guys that travel long distance, they get longboard wheels or a longboard, so they can just do 2 pushes and they're good for a while, as opposed to a skateboard, smaller wheels, more for tricks. It takes a lot longer to get somewhere, but you can do a lot more along the way.
And the longboard's more for cruising, right?
Yeah, getting from point A to point B, kind of thing like that.
This is breaking ground on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I've been on radio for 25 years. We've never had a skateboarder. He's Mikey Prebay.
Is that Premet? Mikey Premet.
Premet. I get it. I got it. Tom Gribben brought him down to share a little bit about the sport. And it's popular. There's no doubt about that. You know, they wouldn't have the X Games. It wouldn't be an Olympic sport
in the Olympics now.
Yeah, which is amazing. And some incredible athletes participating. And I guess, are there a lot of amateur competitions for you to get involved in?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of competitions all around. We just recently went to Atlanta for a contest, and it was if you win that contest, you get flown out by Red Bull to Atlanta, Georgia to skate at airport. And we fortunately won that contest. So they flew us out. Everything was paid for. They paid for a hotel. They catered food. They took good care of us. Shout out Red Bull. And we got to go skate at airport in New Orleans. That was amazing. They had a whole airport sectioned off they had built skate parks in the airport. It was great.
Well, so you're not having fun, and you're making you're not getting a cash check written out to you, but at your age, 23, expenses paid, see the world
more than I can.
Rock and roll, champ.
So you keep saying we. Is it like a team that you guys compete?
Yeah. What's your name of your team?
That was me and all the other Westside Skate Shop guys.
Oh, so it's with the skate shop.
Yeah. So that was actually a skate shop contest. So they invited different skate shops out there, and you know. Whoever won got to skate in the Red Bull thing, and they actually in the Red Bull thing they have its best video. So we're waiting to post our video, and then you're going to do an online vote. So
where can our listeners find that and vote for you?
Yeah, we want to blow it up for you.
I will definitely let you guys know as soon as I find out. Probably next time I'm on here, I'll have it up posted. It hasn't been put out yet, so we're waiting on that.
Well, let's make certain that we do that.
Yeah, we appreciate all the support.
And I've got a little I got a high school graduate now. He's my social media guy, and I'll make sure that Joey Geiger gets your information, and we start loading you onto our Facebook. Awesome. If you've got any video content that's really cool, make sure you get it to us, and we'll get that all hooked up when we get done here.
We'll do.
Your videos, do you have like a particular style to them? Are you using like fisheye lenses? Like, I'm thinking,
man, you got the lingo down.
I'm thinking like retro kind of
baseball guy.
Hey, Mike, I'm
diversity.
Been around the block.
I got my buttons.
Baseball and skateboard.
I like my longboards. I haven't quite merged over into the actual skateboarding side of it because, you know, I played baseball. I was a little too afraid of getting injured. Like you said, breaking a hand, breaking this, and, very protective of the old noggin up here. So I always wear a helmet. I always kind of felt like, you know, I'm wearing a helmet. I'm not the cool kid at the skate park, but you know, it's very cool that you're doing all that. And are there any local tournaments around here or any local kind of skate things that people get together to do?
Grind for Life is actually a pretty local event, and they have all of their profits go to cancer and people with cancer to help them. And they're a great, great organization, and we always go out there and skate hard for them. And any other local events, I know Skate Park of Tampa does a lot of contests. Like the people at St. Pete Skate Park have like little anniversaries every year for the park. And the owner of Westside Skate Shop, John Montesi, just got in the Skateboarder Hall of Fame.
Oh,
and
wow.
That was really cool. Yeah, that was at the skate park right back there where I was talking about, Campbell, mm-hmm. right behind Tropicana Field.
Well, Mikey, I've enjoyed this conversation. I think that there's some things we can do to help you expand awareness. I don't think anybody else is going to launch a podcast on a streaming platform. We'll do that for you.
That'd be great. I'd love to shed some light on skateboarding.
And sure. you work on some sponsorship out there, and you can make a little money, and that'll be your first check. Coming in, your pops will probably be proud of you. Your first check coming in is commission based on what you love and your passion.
Yes.
So, and now I know I've got an in-house
I might not know a lot, but I know at least a little bit of the lingo. I don't know all the brands for the skateboards. I know at least for, you know.
Once you said fisheye, I knew you were cool.
Oh, please don't say that.
Hey, Mike, he's hyping me up. I'll take all I can get.
I'm cool. He's cool. He's 24-year-old, 70-year-old.
When it comes to
baseball. He's 70-something.
When it comes to baseball.
30-something. It's reversed. But I look forward to that. You know, Tom, when you and I grew up, I remember the first skateboard I had. It was a piece of wood. I swear to God, we took roller skate wheels and nailed them to it, and that was our skateboards. We were poor. Then I got my first skateboard. Oh, my God. Look at that.
Oh, I see it.
I still have it to this day.
My buddy Canyon's got a matching one. Look at the same.
Oh, yeah. Face plant, and that was it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to break my wrist for boxing and the other sports.
Yeah.
All right, Mikey, thanks for coming down, my man.
Thank you for having me on.
Looking forward to it. That was interesting. And thanks, Ben, for being able to help us in the conversation. Thank you, Tom Gribben, for bringing this young man.
Thank you, Tom, again.
I didn't know what to think today. But I enjoyed that thoroughly. Hey, we're going to be talking to the Eckerd College Tennis Triton team here in a bit. Then we'll talk to Eckerd College Golf Head Coach Bill Butner. He's got Emily Alicantara, and she made it to the Nationals. See that rolled out off my tongue?
That's slick, Mike. You do your vocal exercises?
That's the last time I'll get that accurate. Anyway, they're in St. Louis, so we'll be talking Triton time. Right now, we're going to talk a little baseball, basketball for a few minutes. The big old Oscar Garner III in the house. What are you working on there, brother?
Just looking at the baseball standings right now, getting caught up so maybe I can participate in the conversation. I know I'm a hoops guy. I'm a junkie right now for hoops.
You should be.
I got some stuff to talk about. There's a lot of great things in basketball, especially if you're really into it. But also want to talk about the Rays. Rays have cooled off a little bit, 500 over the last 10 games. So, you know,
it's bound to happen.
Still number one. I think it's 1A, 1B with the Braves right now, right? And we're trying to see where that comes down the pike. But also, our division is like the best division in baseball, which is a lot of fun.
It certainly is.
We'll talk about that too.
I mean, I'm super excited. We've been playing some the toughest opponents, I think, in the league right now. We faced off against the Pirates.
Right.
We faced off against the Orioles, who, in my opinion, have some of the best young stars in baseball. Adley Rutschman is a phenom.
Ryan Mountcastle?
Ryan Mountcastle as well. I don't know what happened to the Orioles. They used to be the team, like, the Rays would schedule all the, like, summer camps and everyone, hey, come out, we're going to go see the Orioles play. Whoop-dee-doo. Now, it's the team to be reckoned with.
That was kind of the vibe last year. I remember the season opener, we had Orioles here, and kind of people were like, I'm waiting for the Yankees to come in town, or waiting for Boston to come in town. But now it's a competitive all across the division, and the Orioles and the Blue Jays are like the next two teams behind us.
Yeah. And Yankees are at the bottom of our division.
I love every minute of it. We should have won last night's game. We'll talk about that. We'll go over the
Did you guys go to any of those games when they were here?
I went to which one did I go to? Yeah, I went to one of the games.
Okay.
And we won. But we are going to talk NBA because I actually have been throwing myself into it. I've enjoyed it. I lived in Denver and I used to go to Nuggets games in the 80s. I'm on the Nuggets bandwagon right now.
How do you feel? How do you think that Denver crowd is feeling right now, getting a chance to contend to go to the finals?
My son Benny lives out there and he's going to be right in the middle of it. He figured out a way to get ducats, and he's ecstatic about it.
I know that's going to be a lot of fun. It's good to see Jokic, the two-time MVP. He's kind of unsung. There's a Europe bias amongst NBA fans, so to see him get his shine, he's going to play the king himself for a chance at a ring. I think this is good for basketball, small market versus big market on one of the world's biggest stages. So I'm excited for Denver. I'm not saying I'm rooting for them. You know where my heart lies, but it's a lot of fun.
Beat LeBron.
Of course. That's always the...
If LeBron,
beat LeBron and beat the Lakers.
If LeBron can lose, I'm a happy camper. I don't know much about basketball, but the day LeBron loses, I'm a happy guy. He's probably out there blood doping right now trying to stay young. I don't
care. You're on the Nuggets bandwagon then.
Oh, big time. If I'm not rooting for, I guess the Magic, because they're the local team-ish, I guess. You know, you're
better off rooting for the Heat, man.
Yeah, Miami Heat, they're still in the hunt.
I feel like that's too much. I don't know anything about basketball, so I feel like I'm a bandwagoner if I go with the Heat. So I'm rooting for the underdog, always the Magic. And they had
That's a deep underdog, though.
I mean, they had what, Shaq at some point, right? At one point in their history,
you weren't even born.
The Yankees had Babe Ruth too at some point, right?
Like and they're still riding.
You weren't even born when Shaq was with the Orlando Magic. Penny Hardaway, I can name that lineup.
Yeah, I think we were born the first year of the Lakers three-peat. Was that 99 was the first year of that?
Correct.
Yep. So that's when I came out. But I don't know, where do you want to start, Mike? There's so much we can talk about.
Well, we're going to do most of it in the second hour. But one of the things that I was disappointed in is I am a Golden State Warrior fan.
That was
their youngsters didn't step up to the plate.
No, and you're looking at Jordan Poole. It's like, where's the production there? But you're also looking at Klay, a guy who was like good at cutting to the basket. He doesn't have the same burst. He can't beat the big guys. He can't muscle up.
That's what the young guy's supposed to come in.
Exactly. And not able to get those spots and those shots, and it showed.
Hey, I just noticed that the Tritons are in the house. The tennis guy people are in the house. So we'll take a hard break. We'll come back and we'll talk Triton time. Eckert, men's and women's tennis here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's a beautiful Saturday, Mother's Day weekend down here. We'll be back with Triton time and Eckert College on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay.
barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Tampa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the Dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Hour number two, Tampa St. Pete. We're live for Berg's Sports Bar and Grill on a Super Saturday. This is May 13th, Mother's Day weekend. Graduation taking place across the street at the Trop as the Rays are on the road. But right now on the road, and we're going to go to him right away because he's waiting patiently. He's Bill Butner. He's the retiring head golf coach for the Eckerd Tritons. And he's fortunate on his way out the door that this young lady made it to the NCAAs. And Emily Alcantara, I think I may have her name right, Bill Butner. But congratulations to you and, of course, to Emily. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. I'm with Emily right here.
Well,
can you hear me?
And you're in St. Louis?
No, not yet. We're leaving first thing in the morning.
Gotcha. So talk about her what year she is, her trip to get there, how she qualified, where she had to qualify to get to the Nationals, which is a tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah, what we do is throughout the season they narrow it down team by team, individual by individual. And by the end of the selection, at the end of the conference, which was about a month ago, they decided on different teams from our region and two individuals. And she was lucky enough to be one of the two. So from there, we ended up going to regionals, which brought in the North Carolina schools, the Mississippi schools, the Southeast region, and we had 20 teams there and 8 individuals, and they ended up taking 4 or 5 teams and 2 individuals, and she was lucky enough to be one of the 2 individuals. So she's kind of made her way through the rat race, and now we're headed to Nationals, where there are 8 individuals and I believe 16 teams competing for team national championship and individual national championship.
Bill, how many youngsters have you? Do you know the number? How many you've sent to the Nationals, or they have gotten to Nationals since you've been at Eckerd?
For me, only one guy here. It's a hard road because you've got to really be fortunate to go to regionals. That's a in our region, Florida obviously is a very tough region with all the good teams, all the good international players. And then to get into the regionals and through the regionals as an individual is just happened to play right at the right time. And so Omni obviously went as an individual, and she qualified through the regionals going to nationals.
Well, that's fabulous. You're kind of breaking up there. I wanted to take a few minutes, and first of all, I wanted to give you your props for your commitment to Eckerd College as you're now retiring. How many years have you been the coach over there, my friend?
This has been my 21st year.
21 years. Well, what a great way to go out, get an opportunity to take a young lady like Emily to the Nationals and go out with a bang. I'm proud of you. Just had the tennis team and Ben and the gang, and they knew all about it. I think most of the campus probably knows about this success, and she should be extremely proud of herself. We'll get her down here when you get back on the golf show to talk about her experiences through this process.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, we leave tomorrow, and we're playing on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And those are our 3 days of individual competition.
All right, my man. I will. I'll talk to you the first of the week. He's the Eckerd College golf head coach, Bill Butner, Emily Alcantara, and she made it to the Nationals, which is a heck of an accomplishment for a young lady. So now back to the stream team. You guys ready to rock and roll? You got it together. And we're all going to get along and kumbaya for the next.
Yeah. We're going to hold hands.
Hold hands. Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Well, we're going to talk. We'll talk a little bit on the topics of the Rays and anything you want. I'll give you guys 5 minutes now. Then I'm giving him a good sized segment because we got a lot of high school sports to talk about. And yes. Then we will we'll have Ray Kennedy bother you. And is the Axeman coming too?
Axeman will be here. He'll be down here around 1:30.
Good, good, good. We got lots to talk about. All right. So what's on the agenda so people can listen at 1:30? We're going to talk NBA.
We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk some baseball.
Very important to you right now, though.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, I appreciate you always allowing me to use the platform to extend what I'm doing out in the community. As a lot of you have known since I've been on the show for a while, I like to be out mingling with the people, shaking hands and kissing babies. I've partnered up with Ignite Youth Incorporated. It's a group, nonprofit group in St. Pete, Tampa Bay area that's focused on uplifting our youth, our troubled youth. Right. We do financial literacy events. We do business fests. We do kidpreneur expos, teaching kids how to start their own business. As an extension of that, we're doing a fundraising event. It's called the St. Pete Business Fest with the Kidpreneur Expo and Kid Zone. It's going to be at Williams Park Saturday, May 20th from noon to 6 p.m. The event is free. We'll have food vendors and catering. Catering is booked out. So come get some food.
Kidpreneur. I like that.
Kidpreneur. It's a hot phrase. We're trying to get the kids involved with starting their own business and thinking outside the box and thinking differently. Face painting, swag bag games, team activities. If you want to register beforehand, just go to igniteyouthinc.org. You'll see the link there to register for this event. I'm going to plug this a little bit later, but Mike, thanks. I appreciate you. I'm going to be at that event this Saturday coming up.
I'm all over that. Kidpreneur.
Absolutely.
How old are these kids?
They're the peewees. You know, these kids are all the way down to eight years old. We're trying to get them as early as possible. I don't think there's a period that's too early, but
they're not just lemonade hawkers in front of their house.
No, we're talking about kids who are doing shoe resales, marketing services, you know, making videos and edits, middle schoolers, high schoolers and kids, stuff like that.
That's cool. Yeah. Who came up with that phrase, kidpreneurs?
Yeah, I got to give the props to LaShawn Rush, the CEO of Ignite Youth. Shout out her. Go reach out to her on LinkedIn. She's the founder. You know, she's just trying to reach out to the kids in an impactful way. And we think that's a phrase that get students and kids on board to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and hopefully they get some assistance from home, and if they don't have that capability, this is an outlet for them if they don't have the mentors necessary for success in life. And that's
absolutely
one of the big issues in America right now, hot button that needs to be addressed. All right, Ben, so you've been sitting over there sipping on and you're cut off the rest of the show, sipping on our favorites, Champa Bays, and
I'm here to support a sponsor, Mike.
Oh,
what else am I supposed to do?
Oh,
I'm a brand new guy.
When the FCC sends me that letter that we were very obvious about your consumption on the air.
No consumption. They're just sitting here.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of like the golf show. And John Rager was golfing, and he was doing – this is this morning. He did 3 shots of Fireball while he was on the air because there was live from a tournament, which was pretty – it was pretty good radio. It was pretty cool.
Pretty good, yeah.
However, he said it was non-alcohol Fireball. I'm sure they sell a lot of that.
It's a lot of cinnamon in a cup. Yeah.
Why don't you just go buy some of those hot tamales and take a drink of water, you boob. My God. All right. So what do you got there?
Well, Mike, did you see WFAN radio?
I love it.
Calling into question the success of the Tampa Bay Rays.
But my man, it was Zach Blogner.
Evan Roberts.
No, but who
was the main guy that was like calling into question there?
The guy's on WDAE.
Oh, I didn't get that side.
Yeah.
Fill me in, Mike.
Jay Blogner and Ray Kennedy can share the names. I think it was J and Z. They took this chump down.
Yeah, they said there's something suspicious about that.
Like for the Astros, like the Rays or the Astros.
Yeah,
come on.
They can't believe that guys like Taylor Walls or Bethencourt, who are doing great this season, are doing well.
Hey, I got to tell you something. Our training staff isn't at the level enough to actually institute cheating.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry. They can't keep our guys healthy. Yeah. Oh, they're going to come up with something that gives you the overnight performance that PEDs do.
They pick guys.
They haven't.
Like, I don't know why they pick guys like Bethencourt, who's a career 234 hitter this season.
It's a little bizarre, though.
233? Why do you pick him? Then you pick guys like Taylor Walls, who's 26 years old, who says that he's redefining his game and he's finally figured out the plate. Why are you picking those guys? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You're grasping for straws because you don't like the Rays and you don't like that we're the best team in baseball. We're the first team to 30 wins. We lead the league in ERA and hits and runs scored and in wins. I think you're just a wee bit jealous that a team that's able to do it at a budget of the price of the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers is so stinking successful. That's why you're upset. That's why you're begging for there to be a reason why they're so good. No, we're a damn good team. We're a team that's got 90 wins the past, 4 seasons? We're in the best division in baseball.
I know all about WFAN, and I know some guys that used to be on WFAN, and I pick up the New York Post every day, and that's just their MO up there, my man. That's just the reality. The same thing's probably happening in Boston radio as well.
They could go kick rocks as far as I'm concerned. They could see them later.
Well,
tell them, Ben.
Kick rocks.
Yeah.
Kid Rock?
Not Kid Rock. That's a different
story. Oh, okay. Kick
but,
rocks.
Also, Mike, did you see this? The Rays are hosting a gaming tournament here at the Trop. It's going to be the Sunburst Invitational for MLB The Show. That's that baseball game for the Xbox, the PlayStation, computer, all.
Really? That's thinking outside the box, essentially.
Bringing in new fans, bringing in guys.
Hey, maybe you could play that. Are you a gamer? Were you a gamer?
I'm a gamer on the show, but I wasn't much of one. I'm not much of one now. So, but that sounds very interesting. I didn't think the Tribe would be getting involved with the video game world.
You a gamer, Brad Richardson?
Yeah, a long time ago and all that. Actually, I was playing Madden. I was playing Madden actually kind of when it first came out. But that's football, of course. It's funny you mentioned that.
No kidding.
Yeah,
I might look old and I'm from Iowa, but thanks for letting me know that Madden is the football game. Bringing some knowledge today.
But no, actually, it's funny. There was one point, I forget where Brett Phillips was at, and they had him playing MLB Kansas The Show
City.
On. Yes,
Kansas City.
They had him playing MLB The Show on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. So it's a super popular game. So the series will feature two online tournaments eligible for players of age 13 and up in the U.S. and Canada. Winners of each of the two qualifier tournaments will be flown down to Orlando to face off in the Sunburst Showdown, a final LAN play, which is, that means they're all on the same Wi-Fi, they're connected to the same computer, will play in a tournament at Full Sail University, competing for a share of a $10,000 cash prize, Mike.
So there's money in gaming, man.
Much to break down that Full Sail is the one hosting. As you in broadcasting, I just think it's kind of funny that Full Sail is sponsoring this event. I don't know, that's just...
Well, imagine that.
It seems kind of like a scam, but...
Well... It's a cash grab. What are you talking about?
It is a cash grab.
Everything's a cash grab. But that is the future. It's sad but true. The guys that I do business with over in Orlando, Hoobie, they've got virtual esports. Oh, and I'll tell you who's really into esports these days?
The military.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Bingo.
That's how they wind down, you know. That's
well, actually, in fact, they've got the Army and the Marines going to be joining us as sponsors, fortunately, for our Prep Connection.
Yeah.
And they are looking for that audience. For gamers,
yeah,
because these are the guys that are going to be doing the, you know, the cyber warfare, and so they're looking for the geeks in my world.
Yeah,
they want the guys that are the geeks.
Well, it's funny, you know. I think there's a movie coming out called Gran Turismo, and part of that story is they bring in gamers, and they're having them, because they played the game so many times, have them be actually on the track driving the car instead of, you know, sitting at home and using a controller. They're actually on the track. It's coming out soon. I know that.
All right. Well, let's transition to Brad Richardson, who's done a lot of homework. It's our Body Armor. They're on board for the 2023-2024 high school season in a big way. FCA Sports is coming on board. We've got some exciting things down the pipe in the fall of 23 in the sports end. But right now we're winding down 2022-2023 and in the sports year with yes. Track and field. You got field hockey. You got lacrosse. Mm-hmm. Lacrosse had St. Pete Lacrosse is coming on next week.
Oh, wow.
And we got baseball, softball, and, of course, girls flag football.
Yeah, I mean last week, of course, is when everything started with softball and baseball. And one thing too to actually talk about too is flag football is still going. Actually, they got one more week and they're going to be heading to states and all that. So and you know, just to catch up from last week and everything, Palm Harbor played Leto is going to be moving on as well as Plant, and also Sickles is going to be moving on as well. So you know, it's funny just watching some of these teams. Osceola was one of the high teams going into that, and they were able to play the number one team in the state of Florida, and that's Robinson High School. And, you know, they fell, unfortunately, to Robinson 41-6. Osceola finished their season beautiful, 13-2 record. Flag football, I mean, great game they played. And we'll talk about Gibbs real quick. The Gladiators, they were able to beat Wickiwachee in the regional quarterfinals. They're going to be playing they moved on to play Robinson as well.
I love to see these young girls playing that game.
Yeah.
They love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, those Gibbs girls, that's a great story.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I saw an interview on Spectrum 9. They're going to be our partners, by the way, in the fall.
Yeah.
From a sports perspective.
But get this too. It's funny it's interesting actually, is that when they had this game, Gibbs and all that, when they played, they were down at one buck place. Imagine playing a regional game at one buck place.
How cool is that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're going to be live, and you're going to be involved in that. And maybe we'll get Raymond James Financial over here there. We're going to be at FCA Sports 7-on-7 tournament, oh, wow. Which is huge.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on the call, and Body Armor is going to be involved, and that's at one buck place.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be an awesome.
All right, so I won't interrupt you anymore.
Yeah, okay. So now, of course, going into this week, we had baseball and softball. Okay. Last week was districts. Now, one of the things I want to establish, I know we talked about this last time, was with the rankings and everything going into districts. So one thing to understand is this was started back in 2019, all right? And Max Preps, you know, say your opinions about them as much as you want. They are in control of this. This also goes through Game Changer, which helps log scores and stats during games. It's a little more accurate. But just to break this down real quick, each class is going to have four regions and four districts per region and all that. District champions, they're obviously going to be going to the regional playoffs and all. And
while they're still going, there's also four at-large bids that will be determined by Max Preps. So you have four district champions at district champions and four at-large risks that could be going into regionals, all based on their rankings in the state of Florida.
Gotcha.
So, and this, and the, really what this too is, it doesn't always guarantee a runner up in the districts to be advancing on. So that's one of the things.
What do coaches think about that, Ben?
We're kind of split on it, to be honest with you. You, for a while there, it was the runner up would get, would obviously get the bid, but it does allow for the opportunity for more than one team in your district to get the bid and move on to the regional, which is good for teams that are more on the periphery of it. But I think it complicates things a little bit. Like Seminole, we didn't win our district, unfortunately, but we still
did not
got the bid.
Yeah.
We moved on to the next round. We were ranked a higher seed.
Yeah, we're the one seed. Yeah, we're the one seed. Yeah.
We were ranked a higher seed than the team we were playing that won their district, yet we were still the away team in the home game there, which didn't quite make a lot of sense. I get if the game's going to be at the home field, they won their district. But why are we then also ranked above them but not getting the home, playing as the home team?
Yeah.
It doesn't quite make a lot of sense, and it complicates things a lot for coaches who are struggling to figure out strength of schedule, who they can and can't play. And a lot of that is, you know, it's an insider's game. You got to know coaches who will agree to play you, and if you don't know the right people, you won't get the opportunity to play them to get that at-large bid.
True, but I mean, again, it goes back to the whole thing. It's encouraging competition. That's really what it's all about.
Okay.
Encourage competition, get out of the district and all that. So okay.
Continue.
So anyway, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned, of course, Seminole. That was, of course, you know, Seminole played Northeast. That was their first game in districts. They would squeak out a 1-0 win. Also, it would do the same thing to Hollins. They beat Hollins. It was a very, very close game. Of course, it boiled down to the championship game, and everyone knows when Seminole and Osceola face off, it brings a crowd. District championship rivalry game, of course. Seminole started off with a 1-0 lead, but then Osceola, you know, would come behind in the fifth. They came behind. They played a little small ball in Seminole, and final.
This was at Seminole.
This was at Seminole, yeah. And they would take a 7-1 win. Seminole moved on to play Naples. They unfortunately had a 4-0 loss, but hey. You know, all credit to my team, the Warhawks. They finished with a 21-7 record. Best season, winning season they've had since 2012.
It must be that new influx of assistant coaches that they have.
Absolutely. I mean, they have a lot of legacy
and
coaches.
That side wonder from Savannah State. I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, who's that
Something
guy?
About that guy. I don't know.
Exactly.
Know who he is.
Now, it's interesting. This is an interesting twist here. So Hollins, okay, they were ranked very high in the state of Florida.
I saw that, Coach Rogers.
Yeah, they were ranked very high going to district. So they got an at-large qualifier slot. So even though they lost in districts, they lost their first game in districts, they were still high enough, they could go on to regionals. Now, this is the best thing. So because they were going on, they played Osceola. They lost to Osceola, and they are going to be playing them again in regionals. It was a close game that time, but basically what happens when they played Osceola at Osceola, they got 10 runs, unfortunately. So, and now here's something that's been going on. So they moved on. So Osceola moved on to the regional semifinals where they're facing Island Coast. Now, last night we all heard the monsoon, the lightning, everything that was going on here. They played in the fifth inning. The score was tied 4-4. Of course, they're playing against Island Coast. The Lightning rank obviously had to call the game. They're starting their game up at 3 p.m. today in the top of the fifth inning. So
what's the score, do you know?
4-4.
Oh, tied up.
Tied up, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, tied up 4-4. So, and we'll see what happens with that game. That with that school, the winner of that school will go on to play Jesuit.
At Fort Myers?
No, Jesuit. They go to the regional championship for
how many weeks are we away? 2 weeks away from Fort Myers?
We are 2 weeks away, technically, yeah.
Boy, did I blow it on my 2-minute sports update. I thought it was
They have it next week for regionals, and then for the regional semifinals, and then the week after they're in Fort Myers. So
gotcha.
So anyway, now that was, of course, 5A District 10 to 6A District 10. This was a big surprise for me. Eastlake actually would be the runner-up at district championship over Sickles, who would take the championship win with a final score of 3-2. Eastlake would play the Riverdale Raiders in the regional quarterfinals. Game would be tied in the third, but Riverdale would pull ahead with 4 runs. It wasn't enough for Eastlake, of course, to make the comeback. Final score, 7-1 as Eastlake would finish their season. Another great season for them, 22-5, and they were ranked number 31 in the state of Florida. So it was a very very big upset. You know, I mean, Zach
pretty Roper, decent sport programs. You and I covered them up there at Northside Christian in basketball.
Absolutely. I mean, their football team, basketball, obviously, and then you take baseball, always prominent in there. So now over to 2A District 9. Northside Christian. I tell you what.
Were they playing last night?
They were playing last night, too.
Because my girlfriend lives right by there, and I said, I don't think they're playing.
No, they are. They were, and unfortunately, they had a little weather delay as well. So they will be picking that game up today.
That's for.
Well, right now, the score is 7-3. Right now, the team that they're playing is the Newman Celtics. Newman Celtics.
Don't say Celtics while he's over there chomping
at them. I know. Anyway, so yeah, right now, currently Newman is leading 7-3 in the bottom of the fifth inning. They're going to resume it today. The winner of that game will move on to face Canterbury Fort Myers in the 2A Region 3 championship game. Now on to 4A, District 11, none other than the team we had on not too long ago, Davis Kippen and the Dunedin Falcons. They clinched the district championship over Tarpon Springs. No problem there. First up in the regional quarterfinals, they defeated the Estro Wildcats. This was a landslide game from 10-run, 11-1 final score. Then it was off to the regional semifinals. This was a pitching duel, believe it or not. You had Jacob Regal and Jack Johnson, both for Dunedin, just showing their resilience on the mound. Falcons, of course, came alive in the bottom of the sixth inning and took a 2-0 win over the Hardy Wildcats. This coming Tuesday, they will be facing off against the Jefferson Dragons for the 4A Region 5 championship.
And that's the ticket to Fort Myers.
That's the ticket to Fort Myers, correct. Moving on to the Final Four and everything. So now to 3A District 6. I know that we got to talk about the Calvary Christian Warriors. They clinched their championship, their district championship. No problem there. They defeated Bell Creek Academy in the regional quarterfinals. Then it was off to Bishop Vero for the Vikings in the regional semifinals. The Warriors would take the lead early in the bottom of the first inning. But I tell you what, it was a big night for Hunter Dietz as he would pitch 7 scoreless innings and racking up 11 strikeouts. Final score, 3-0.
Is that the kid that throws like 95?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, next week, they will be facing off against Tampa Catholic in the region, the Class 3A Region 2 championship. So,
and that's the ticket to
that's the other Myers. That's gotcha. The other ticket. Gotcha. Yeah. So now we got to go to softball. I mean, can't leave the girls out here, obviously. So starting in 3A District 11, let's get back to Calvary real quick. You know, they would take the district championship over CCC. Final score to that, 10-0. For the regional quarterfinals, they faced off against the Lake Placid Dragons. Interesting name for a town in the area. So, but anyway, tough game for the Warriors, but they would fight to a 4-2 win. They will go on to face Academy of the Holy Names Jaguars on Tuesday, but this is for the regional, the Class A 3, Regional 3 semifinals game. The softball team is just starting their regional semifinals game now. So that's what's happening with them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting game to watch. Now off to 6A District 5, back to Eastlake. Again, a school that produces great teams and winning teams and all of that.
In all sports.
In all sports, exactly. The Eagles took the district championship over Sickles with a final score of 6-1. Now they had to face Mitchell. And Mitchell and Eastlake, when they face off in districts as well, you know, it's always going to be an interesting game. No question about it. Eastlake would take the win. But here's the thing. Getting back to this whole thing with the standings, okay? But even though Mitchell lost, they still had a record in their favor, their state ranking. They were very high in states. So these teams would be back, but only in the rematch this time, as Mitchell would take the win, final score 4-0. Mitchell will be playing Land O'Lakes this Tuesday. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Palm Harbor University, now down onto them. This is going to be another example of the standings. Palm Harbor was the number one seed going into districts. They faced off against Steinbrenner, who was the number two seed. Palm Harbor would get a close win to Steinbrenner, 10-9. Then they would be facing Plant High School. Plant High School, I tell you what, strong baseball team, but equally a strong softball team when they go in. It's always a battle royale.
Every sport.
Oh, every sport. It's another school. They have football, too. I mean, remember when Robert Wiener was there? I mean,